The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The often maligned Texas Driver's Responsibility Program could finally be dead. A bill that terminated a program that is responsible for making Texas the state with the most drivers on the road with suspended driver's licenses passed the recent legislative session. As of January 2018, 1.4 million Texas drivers, nearly 10% of the state's drivers that year, had suspended licenses for not paying the program's surcharges. Under the bill, any pending surcharges under the Driver's Responsibility Act would go away. I spoke with Representative John Zerwas, a Republican from Richmond, about the DRP and his bill, HB 2048, that would repeal it. He says right now it's all up to Governor Greg Abbott if it will become law.
It's with the governor, and I certainly anticipated either being signed or being allowed to go into law. No sense of any reason why the governor would not want to see the DRP repealed and then the new program that we've outlined put in place.
What was your thinking during the session? Why were you going to say this could be the session where we finally do something about the driver responsibility program?
Well, it's not the first time we've taken a run at this. Last session, I think we came pretty close to with a replacement program similar to what we, passed through this time. But really, from the very get-go in 2003, there were people that had apprehensions about this disproportionately affecting people in lower socioeconomic levels, and that's exactly what we saw happen. The one thing we found, though, is that as far as the reliability of the program to provide, desperately needed trauma funds to help the trauma hospitals, kind of make ends meet, it was reasonably successful at that, and that was probably the thing that kept it in place over the years. But even in my first session in 2007, which was just four years after it was enacted, I was hearing multiple legislators very concerned about the program, wanting to see it repealed, but nobody really coming forward with a replacement that would provide funding for the trauma fund, like the way the driver responsibility program did. And so that was really what kind of kept it in place over the years. And people were just a little bit cautious about wanting to step off into something new if the DRP was to disappear. And so I think over the past three sessions, at least, people started to get comfortable with the idea that we could come up with a better program, get rid of the DRP. It was working misery on a large number of Texans out there, and actually put together something that has a sustainable and reliable funding source for the trauma programs, but at the same time didn't disproportionately affect drivers that just couldn't pay their fine for some reason.
And so where is the new funding coming for the emergency rooms?
Right, so it's actually three different funding streams, if you will. One is we've actually increased the state highway fine from $30 to $50, and then we split that fine into a portion that goes into the 5111, which is the trauma fund, and then the other part goes into general revenue. The second one is actually fines for people that do drive while intoxicated, and those are on top of the infraction that they've gotten. So they start out on a first level at like $3,000 and then goes up to, I think, about a $6,000 level, depending on, the frequency of their driving while intoxicated, what their level of intoxication is, and things of that nature. That is probably, of the three funding streams, the least reliable. So we sort of, worked it that way, understanding that that's probably the one that won't give us as much money as the other two will. And then the third one is an additional $2 fine on automobile policies that would then be split between the driver responsibility program, an anti-burglary program, which has already been in place, and then into general revenue. So those three funding streams, two of which I think are very reliable and sustainable. The third one is going to be some amount of money will come with it, but it's probably not the one that you're going to really hang your hat on for the most part.
And you said $2 fine, but did you mean fee?
A $2 fee is what I meant to say. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, no. I just want to make sure we communicated that correctly. We still have this Omni-Base program. Some people are wondering that there's still going to be some of the effects that people didn't like about the driver's responsibility program in place, because there's still driver's licenses being suspended because people didn't pay their fees, fines, and court costs.
Right. We're really focused on trying to limit driver's licenses being suspended, and we're trying to make accommodations when they need more time, or they just aren't in a place where they can actually afford to pay the fines. What we don't want to do is reinvent the DRP and create a whole group of people once again that can't pay their fines or can't get out of this situation because they lose their driver's license. And so we're very tuned to that. But by the same token, we don't want people to feel like if you're going to drive intoxicated, there aren't serious consequences, and there should be. And so there are those who will have offenses that frankly should lose their driver's license because they're such a threat to people on the road. But in terms of just creating a whole group of people that can't get their life back in order because they lose their driver's license and therefore can't make a living or make any kind of money at all, we want to avoid that situation.
So if I am currently subject to have my driver's license suspended because of the Texas Driver's Responsibility Program, and that program has gone away, am I going to get my driver's license back?
Yes, that's one of the key provisions of the bill, is that barring any other kind of infraction against your driver's license, if the only reason you're not getting your driver's license is you can't afford to pay the fine or have been delinquent on the fine, your driver's license will be reinstated. If your driver's license has been suspended for reason above that, then no, that won't be reinstated. Again, that's a concern for safety in terms of people on the road. But if you just can't pay your fine, and that's the reason your driver's license is suspended, which is literally thousands of people out there, then your driver's license is going to be reinstated.
What's the process? Will it just automatically happens, or do I go to DPS offices and pay some money? What do I do?
Yeah, I don't know if you pay any money to get it back, but I think that it would be incumbent on the person whose driver's license is suspended would have to initiate that in order to have their driver's license reinstated.
I mean, it would pay like the same amount I would pay to renew my license, I guess.
Or maybe not even that. I'm not quite sure on that detail, tell you the truth. But certainly there is not going to be any barrier to people getting their driver's license reinstated.
And can I call first to find out what the status is? Or how do I, those places can be really crowded, lines can be really long.
Sure. Yeah, certainly you'd want to call to find out what the process is, because, the individual would be looking to have their driver's license reinstated, not necessarily renewed. And so it's going to be a different, probably, documentation that the person's going to have to provide to DPS in order to, have their driver's license reinstated.
Will you be following up on this? You never know how a bill is going to actually impact the world until it does.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with the DRP when it was put in place in 2003. There were a good number of people who would have predicted that this scenario would have played out. I think most people would call that an unintended consequence. And as I've pointed out to people before, if we all clearly saw the unintended consequences, we would never go down those roads to begin with, you know. So, but, you know, I think that the biggest thing that we need to be tuned into is to make sure that we're not creating, you know, another group of people that are losing their driver's license solely because they can't pay a fine. We think we have put in enough exemptions or waivers, if you will, for people that are of lower socioeconomic status and just can't pay it, or they can be put on some kind of a payment plan and still not be at risk of losing a driver's license and stuff. And I think that's just some of the lessons learned from the previous time, is that, you know, you can't expect people to get off scot-free, and by no means are they with this program that we're outlining here. But at the same time, you have to make sure that people who truly need that second chance to get back up on their feet aren't being boxed out from being able to do that simply because they can't make a living, can't make any money because they don't have a driver's license.
Representative John Surwas is a Republican from Richmond. His bill, HB 2048, would repeal the Driver's Responsibility Program if it makes it past Governor Abbott's veto pen. We're taking a break and we're opening the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Have you been impacted by the Driver's Responsibility Program? Are you glad that it's almost gone? What do you want us to know about that process? 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Back in a minute. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the imminent demise, maybe, of the Driver's Responsibility Program. What does that mean for Texas and for Texas drivers? We're now, phone lines are open. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We're now joined with Mary Mergler. She is an attorney and director of the Criminal Justice Reform Project at Texas Appleseed. Mary, great to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And Phil Telfian is here. He is the executive director of Equal Justice Under Law. Phil, you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks so
much, David. Great to have you both here. Mary, to you first. What do you think? What are we ending up with? What's Texas going to be if this survives to Governor Abbott veto? What happens?
Well, millions of people have been impacted by the program will be able to get their licenses back. Right now, there's 1.4 million people who have driver's license suspensions on account of this program. And if they don't have other types of suspensions, they should be able to reinstate their driver's licenses.
That sounds pretty good. Phil Telfian, do we need to do some sort of education of the public, let them know what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, the Driver Responsibility Program has been an unmitigated disaster for 16 years. There's hundreds of thousands of drivers who have been impacted by it, who have lost their license. And now that it's going to be repealed, all those folks are going to have their driving rights back. So we need to start getting people the message that we'll now have the ability to drive.
Okay, let me go to the phone lines with Jason. He's been hanging on for a while. 210-614-8980. Jason, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I appreciate the time, panel. I've actually been impacted by DRP since 2004. I've had my license suspended twice, both times, and for those that don't know, I haven't heard it mentioned yet, but to reinstate, you are required to pay the state-mandated $125 reinstatement fee. So I would caution the bill writers to at least consider whether or not that's going to be a factor once this, if this goes to fruition. My question really is for those that are, you know, after the third time that I had them suspended for not being able to make payment, I kind of gave up on them. And I guess the question is for those that are now participating and now I have my license back since now I'm a father and have other risks involved, right? For those still participating, what guidance do you give them as we kind of sit on pins and needles to see, is this going to go down? Do we keep making payments? Do we not? Or is there a hold that we can have placed until this happens? What's your suggestion?
All right, Jason, great call. And that's pretty much the big kahuna of a question. You know, a lot of people are asking, like, this is me. What do I do now? So, Mary Mergler, what do we tell them?
First off, the bill is still on the governor's desk. And so we're waiting to see whether he will sign it or let it go into law. Once we know that, it won't go into effect until September 1st, not immediately. And so people should continue to pay their surcharges until the program is not in existence, unless DPS comes up with the process to waive those surcharges.
So June 20th, that's the deadline for vetoes, right, Mary?
June 16th, I believe.
Okay. What is it? You said 16th?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, we'll get that double checked. But so that's so we're waiting for a lot of bills. We're waiting, the countdown is on to see what's going to happen on that. And so Phil, with the equal justice under law, people are going to have to do some, I don't know, evaluation of their situation, and knowing that this thing will be going away if it survives the governor's veto. You know, on September 1st, they could say, well, you know, why would I pay this $1,000 now if I don't have to?
Exactly. And Jason's question is such a interesting one, because so many Texans are in that situation. There's a delay between when the governor signs the law, the veto deadline, and when the law goes into effect. And most people are still going to have to be making payments under the old regime during that time. The other great point that Jason, the caller, raised is the reinstatement. Here at Equal Justice Under Law, we filed a lawsuit challenging Texas's driver responsibility program in federal court. And that case is still pending. We were arguing, though, that it's unconstitutional for those unable to pay.
Okay.
It's an even trickier situation now. So the legal questions are unresolved, is what I would say, David.
Yeah. So your phone line is not the greatest. So what we're going to do is we're going to hit pause on and clear that up, Phil. And I want to hear more about the lawsuit and the unconstitutional aspect of that. But let's go back to the phone lines with Kevin. And Kevin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to do my best to explain my situation. I'm on the DRP. I got on the DRP originally because I was driving without insurance, and then had been making payments on it and failed to make one of the payments and was in arrears and got a speeding ticket. Well, I paid the speeding ticket. Everything was fine. And then subsequently got into a car accident and found that I was driving on a suspended license. So I've paid in full the remaining balance on the DRP and still don't have a license. So I'm wondering if somebody in my situation who had the suspended license but paid off everything and still has a suspended license would be able to have their license reinstated.
Okay. So Mary Mergler with the Texas with Criminal Justice Reform Project at Texas Appleseed, a lot of cases are like Kevin's. They're complicated. And so it's not a blanket amnesty that's being offered with the demise of the Texas Responsibility Program if it survives the veto. Some are, if you have a DWI, it's really complicated. And if it's civil violations, traffic violations, then it's not so bad. Is that my understanding? Is that right?
Well, no, there's various types of driver's license suspensions in Texas. There's another program called the Omnibase program. And if you don't pay fines and fees to a court in any criminal case, you can have a hold placed on your license and it can become invalid. People may get a license suspension for driving with an invalid license. And so there's all sorts of types of suspensions, and the driver responsibility program is just one of those types. This legislation only deals with the driver responsibility program. And so people who have driver responsibility program suspensions, but believe that they may also have other types of suspensions, should go on to DPS's license eligibility website to see if they can check what type other types of suspensions or fees that they may owe and that they will have to pay in order to get their driver's license back that are unrelated to the DRP.
So if I've been in this program and then on September 1st, if this law goes into effect, will it may take a while before everything gets caught up to date, do you think?
It's Phil here. If I could piggyback on what, on what Mary was saying, I mean, that's exactly right. What we've seen from so many of our clients, there's so much confusion in Texas over what suspensions are for, what category they fall in. People have had a hard time even accessing their information on the website or calling in and trying to figure out, hey, you know, is my license suspended? And if so, why? Some of our clients actually found out about suspensions when they were pulled over driving, they thought, legally, and turned out they had a suspension of the DRP. And also to echo something Mary said, people may have multiple reasons for a suspension. So untangling the mess is going to take some time for many drivers.
I mean, you can imagine a driver's, you know, just driving when you have a suspended driver's license is you're in this constant state of anxiety. Every time you see a police unit drive past, you don't know if they're going to turn on their party lights and come at you. And they're going to, you know, it's a very big life disruption. People want to get right with the law on these things if they can. So hearing that the Texas Driver's Responsibility Program is going to possibly, looks like it's going to be going away, that's great news. But then what does this actually mean for me is the question that a lot of people have. And so what do you recommend for them, Phil, step one in figuring that out?
Step one is to go online, go to the driver's license offices, call, try to get those suspensions lifted as soon as possible, starting on September 1st. Make sure that there are no other suspensions on your license. And again, they may be suspensions you don't even know about. The trouble with DPS is that it often mails letters to the wrong address. It might have an outdated address, might have been written down wrong in DPS's systems. You may have suspensions you don't know about. They may be unjustified. You may be able to clear them up, but the point is they may exist. And so it's all about going over to DPS, getting everything cleared up, and especially getting these suspensions lifted as soon as possible.
So I asked Representative Zerwas about this, and I didn't make it the interview that aired, about should I pay still, knowing that this is going to go away on September 1st? And he's like, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't pay. You know, he's being honest. And so people have to, you know, every dollar is precious to many, many families here in Texas. If you know you're paying into a program that's going to go away on September 1st and that payment may not do you any good, then people have to make that call on their own. But, you know, it's their call, right, Phil?
It is their call, and exactly, I'd be the same as Representative Zerwas. I can't give legal advice on this point, but Mary points to another program that I think she's spot on about the Omnibase program. You know, there's still in place in Texas the Omnibase program where people's licenses can be put on hold if there's unpaid court debt. And how the question you asked, David, is going to impact that. What if someone stops paying their driver responsibility fees in this period where it's already been repealed by the legislature? The repeal just hasn't gone into effect yet. Is that going to be considered an unpaid court debt when it comes time to renew their license?
Yeah.
And DPS says, well, wait a second, you're not eligible.
Yeah, so that's what people have been feeling like the entire time they've been involved with the driver's responsibility program. So they feel like they're caught in a trap. We're going to continue the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break.
Mexican American Studies is now an official part of the Texas public school curriculum, but it took years to get there.
The idea and inside conversations I've had with some people early on was, that's what your family's there for. They can give you those stories. They can share that part of it.
That story and a Mexican American singer is memorialized with a state marker at her final resting place. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. As of January 2018, 1.4 million Texas drivers, nearly 10% of the state's drivers that year, had suspended driver's license for not paying the program fees for the Texas Driver's Responsibility Program. So is that number going to go down? Will it go back to a more reasonable number with the passage of a bill that would do away with the Texas Driver's Responsibility Program? We'll have to wait and see, because these programs, these bills, once they become law, we never know what it actually will mean in real life. We're talking about that right now. We're joined with Mary Mergler. She's an attorney and director of the Criminal Justice Reform Project at Texas Appleseed, and Phil Telfinen. He is the executive director of the Equal Justice Under Law. So, Mary Mergler, what are you going to tell people when they come up to you? I'm very excited about the Texas Driver Responsibility Program going away. How do I make sure that I'm able to get my license back?
Well, they need to see if they have any other suspensions or holds, and they can do that by calling DPS or going. There's an online website where the DPS allows people to look up their license eligibility and see if they have additional suspensions or owe fees. There's also a website specific to the OmniBase program called TexasFailureToAppear.com. And there you can see if you have any OmniBase holds and which courts are putting those holds on your license. These are holds that courts place on licenses when people haven't paid fines or fees in any criminal case, including if you just haven't paid a traffic ticket.
Okay, let's go to a caller, 210-614-8980. Kamala, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I had helped a friend just recently get through the process of getting his suspended license, getting his license back when after it had been suspended for years, and it was one of the most difficult processes I've ever been through. I think for both of us, he did get indigency so that his surcharges were taken care of. But every time we went in somewhere, it was another fee. It was hours and hours. It was about 3 months overall. It required having computer access, which he didn't have. He's retired, limited income. And it was, I guess my question is whether some of that extra work that you have to do when your license is suspended, and not just work, but things that didn't make sense that he would have to go through because he had been driving for 50 years but had it suspended because of surcharges.
Right,
whether those are going to be taken care of and it's going to be a more humane process. I'm really proud of us that we got through it, but I really think you obviously have to have either a ride or bus to everything that you have to go to because you're not allowed to drive.
Right. Kamala, thank you for the call. I think she brings up a great point, Mary Mergler, how this was a program that certainly was very difficult for people to navigate and manage, especially if they are low income and if they have issues getting online and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. We hear over and over again from people just how difficult it is to get their driver's licenses back once they've been suspended. It's just a maze. And so often they have multiple types of suspensions, not because they're dangerous drivers, but because they've been unable to pay certain fines and fees along the way. And we need a better process where people can get clear information and instructions about how to get their licenses back when they have been suspended. And like she mentioned, even if you can figure out why there's a suspension and take care of the suspension, you often owe reinstatement fees. And so, you know, it's the eliminating the driver responsibility program is a huge step and a very important step. We're so happy that may happen. But you know, there are other many other types of suspensions, and we still need to ensure that people have a navigable path to getting their licenses back.
Let's go to another caller. This is John. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. It's more of a comment that I'd like to say is I really appreciate that everybody out there that saw the light of what I've been through. I had a DUI 15 years ago, and I was driving under the radar. And I mean, I have to support my family and pay my bills and do what I need to do. And it's just that I live paycheck to paycheck. And I got pulled over by DPS about 2 months ago, and I told the story to the prosecutor. So we try to get a game plan going, and I'm still in the process of trying to get my driver's license, and I'm on the verge of tears right now, to tell you the truth, where I could actually get my driver's license and get a really good job, and that way I could support my family to a better income. And I'm just really appreciative that people out there saw the light. When I got pulled over, there was no records whatsoever that they found. I am a law-abiding citizen, and I just want to say a complete thank you.
John, thank you so much for your call. I have an email from David. I was stopped a couple of years ago, and my insurance had lapsed. I took care of it and had maintained my insurance ever since. I paid my fine. Then I got a letter from the driver's responsibility program saying they wanted me to pay hundreds more dollars or they would suspend my license. I made some payments, but I wasn't current with the DRP 2 weeks ago, and I got a ticket for driving on a suspended license. I'm going to see a judge today. I don't know what to do other than try to explain my situation and try not to cry. I feel like I'm walking into a trap, and I don't have a choice. Phil Telfinen, tell me about your reaction to these real-life stories.
You know, that's so much of what the problem of the DRP has been for so long, and I appreciate John's, you know, gratitude to the state legislature for finally repealing it. In some ways, I feel grateful, but it's also too late for so many people like John and David, the email you just read, and so many of our clients. We filed a federal class action lawsuit on behalf of almost 1.4 million Texans who have lost their driving rights. So many people's lives have been devastated. Families have been into a cycle of poverty because, you know, when you can't drive, you often lose your job. People have been jailed for driving without a suspended license. There's so many downstream consequences, which the legislature is never going to be able to make up for. You know, the anxiety that John, who just called in, said he's been facing for 16 years, you know, driving under the radar, as he says, that's all happened and it's not going to be redressed. One of the biggest concerns I have about what Representative Zerwas said in your interview with him is that he expects thousands of Texans to get their driving rights back. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. We're talking about 1.4 million Texans who should be able to drive, and the bureaucracy, the barriers, that are in place that make it so hard. That's a big part of what our lawsuit is challenging. We call it due process in the courtroom. People haven't been getting their due process. It's been way too hard to satisfy the DRP, to get waivers, to get exceptions. And I'm worried that those bureaucratic barriers are going to continue even after September 1st.
Yeah, and Mary Mergler, we heard this also with the call saying about being able to get a better job if I'm able to get my license back. That's true for a lot of people. People are barred from, I guess, doing things like being Uber drivers or other types of work.
Absolutely. I mean, the overwhelming majority of jobs in Texas are accessible only by car, not public transportation. It's just we don't have the public transportation infrastructure that allows most people to reach a place of employment in a reasonable amount of time, and in rural areas, even at all. And so people with a suspended driver's license can't access many jobs. And then a suspended driver's license in and of itself can prevent people from obtaining employment in the first place. It's often required on an employment application that you have a valid driver's license number to provide. And so this, you know, the driver's license suspensions are really an unnecessary counterproductive barrier to employment. that are really preventing Texas families from thriving and being able to achieve financial stability.
But still, we have this uncertainty about what the bill will actually accomplish when it goes into effect on September the 1st, Mary. I mean, uncertainty is never good.
Well, what's clear is that the suspensions that exist under the DRP will cease to exist. They will be lifted. The process through which people can get their driver's licenses back, I think, is a little up in the air, and hopefully before the effective date, there will be clear information provided by DPS as to what that process will be, and then we'll also work to try to get information out to the public about how they can go about getting their licenses back, and also checking to see if they have other reasons besides a DRP suspension that might prevent them from doing so.
The Texas Fair Defense Project estimates that $2.5 billion in justice debt will be wiped off the books on September 1st when the HB 2048 takes effect. That's a lot of money to be wiped off the books. I have a hard time believing that Texas is going to let that all just sort of evaporate if that's not somehow going to be swept into the Omni program. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. The phone lines are open if you want to give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We're talking about the Driver Responsibility Program. Got an email from Sarah. The DPS website doesn't even allow you to set up automatic payments for DRP. Also, for a DWI, a new surcharge is added to your account every year, regardless of whether you've finished paying off the previous years, but they are separate payments with different due dates, making it even harder to remember and get it right. That's been a complaint from a lot of people. Mary Mergler with the Criminal Justice Reform Project at Texas Appleseed, that this program seems Kafkaesque and almost set up in a way to make people fail despite their best intentions and willingness to pay. They still end up with suspended driver's licenses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very difficult to figure out oftentimes how much you owe, and many people get confused by the fact that these surcharges are not owable one time. They're charged every year for 3 years. So many people think after they've paid the first year that they've paid what they owe, and then don't realize that they owe these surcharges in the following years. It's not explained well, and you know, the information about that, there is a way for people to get their surcharges waived or reduced, but there's a real lack of information, clear information and instructions about how to do that, and so that program is very underutilized. It's just been really a disaster in terms of its administration.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, with Paul. Hey, Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I wanted to just reaffirm that this isn't some kind of theoretical harm. I'm just a middle-class guy. I've got a federal government job, and I haven't had a traffic ticket since 2005. But because of the surcharges, I have been arrested and put in jail twice, and I've had my driver's license suspended so that even though I was paying the surcharges, I was not eligible to drive in the state of Texas for 2 years because I had been a few days late paying the surcharge, got pulled over, and my county connected the 2005 ticket I had with a 2015 surcharge suspended license because I was driving when I had failed to pay the surcharge timely. And they said, oh, that's two tickets for failure to take responsibility, so we're suspending your driver's license privileges for 2 years in the state of Texas. So regardless of if I had paid the surcharges again, I would still be ineligible.
And they took you to jail?
No, I was taken to jail. I was actually taken to jail because I was 4 days late on a $40 payment of a surcharge, And it was the second time that it happened. The first time I was coming back from overseas, and my wife was supposed to have been paying it, and she had failed to do so, and I'd lost track of it. So they gave me a ticket. I said, okay, that's great. Paid the ticket. The second time, it was a trained sheriff's deputy, and he decided, oh, well, you know, I have discretion, but I could take him in, and I've never arrested anybody before. That would be great. So they arrested me and took me to the Comal County Jail and set my butt in there for most of a day because I had failed to pay timely a $40 fee.
All right, Paul, I'm going to let you go there, but sorry about that. Phil Telfian, I want to ask you about this with the executive director of Equal Justice Under Law. Texas does that. Other states, there are other states that do not take people to jail for traffic ticket things.
Exactly, and that's one of the most devastating parts of the DRP is there are folks like Paul who found themselves in jail simply for not paying a DRP fee. Equal Justice Under Law does work all across the country, so we've seen this kind of issue everywhere. But most states won't put you in jail just because you missed a payment or were late on a payment. Texas, for 16 years, has been, frankly, punitive. Suspending licenses, in some cases, you know, we've seen our clients end up in jail, never having committed a crime, never having harmed someone, just simply for missing payments. We hope that that goes away, too, now that the DRP looks like it's on its way out.
But people need to be aware that in Texas, there is this punitive approach, as you said, about threatening people with going to jail if they don't pay fees and fines. You know, they will do these warrant roundups where they show up with a hard knock on your front door early in the morning with a credit card swiper telling you either you swiped the machine or you're going to jail. And that doesn't happen in other states.
Exactly. It's unique to Texas, and it's extremely punitive. It's meant to induce fear to get people to pay on time. The trouble with the policy is that there are folks who literally can't. You know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, all your money is going to rent, food, shelter, other necessities. You may miss a payment through no fault of your own. And that's why this punitive approach has destroyed so many people's ability to earn a productive living.
Right. So, Mary Mergler, what did the lawmakers in their thinking get wrong, and can we learn from this? I mean, it seems like when you look at the hierarchy of needs that we have, you know, that pyramid that people have, and then at the very bottom, there's food, water, and breathing. Just above that in Texas, it's driving. So we cannot live in Texas without being able to drive. And so threatening people by taking away their licenses doesn't stop them from driving.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And actually, the vast majority of license suspensions in Texas, more than 7 in 10 right now, are due to unpaid fines, fees, and surcharges. They are not due to dangerous driving. And, you know, as you said, people when they have a driver's license suspension, have to continue to drive. They have no other way to access their job. They have no other way to access medical appointments or take their children to school, go to the grocery store, just meet their basic needs. Driving is absolutely essential in many locations in Texas, and so people understandably continue to drive even when their license has been suspended. And it's, you know, the fact that it is they are forced to do so, I mean, to survive, and then threatened with jail time when they do, is really terrible.
Okay, I'm going to get John on the air here. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to know, with people who get their licenses suspended because they were drunk driving, is taking away this program going to allow more of them back on the road? And I'll take my answer offline.
All right, John, good question. We're all concerned about people who drive drunk. And we know that the fees, the fines, the surcharges for that are going up with the new bill. But what is this? Is this going to enable drunk drivers, Mary Mergler?
No, absolutely not. DWI will continue to be punished as it is punished now. The driver's license suspensions that result from a DWI conviction are completely unaffected by this. What will change is the surcharges that are additional fines on top of the initial fine for a DWI conviction will not exist. But But in the new law, there is actually a new special fine for DWI that is equivalent to the amount of the surcharges that are charged now. So not much changes for DWI, and certainly the license suspension that's a direct result of the DWI is not effective at all.
Phil Telfian, with Executive Director Equal Justice Under Law, I want to get back to the issue that you had about the lawsuit that you had challenging this as being unconstitutional. Do you think, and that was working its way towards some important court dates, do you think that had something to do with the legislature finally getting a repeal on the driver's responsibility program passed?
I think it probably did. I mean, when you look at this legislature, it's been an unpopular program for 16 years, and the legislature has tried but failed for many sessions now, dating back 6-7 years, to try to repeal the DRP. We filed this lawsuit in December of 2018, so just about 6 months ago, just as a lot of legislators were thinking, hey, what are our top priorities this session? Federal litigation is not a good prospect for states, especially for the DRP, which was an unmitigated disaster. From a due process perspective, from an equal protection perspective, it was violating so many parts of the Constitution. The state attorney general's office had to show up in court and try to defend this law. And I think a lot of legislatures realized, hey, this program's either going to go down in court or we can actually fix it ourselves. And they wisely decided, you know, they can fix it themselves and try to figure out how to make sure the Treasury, the state budget, is not affected too much.
And so, Phil, what happens to that lawsuit now?
Well, there's a couple issues that will remain in the lawsuit. One is some of the questions that some of these callers have asked is, am I actually going to be able to get my license back, or are the procedures that are in place still too confusing, too complicated, too impossible to navigate to actually make the law effective? We're concerned about people actually being able to drive. So that issue is alive. And then also other reasons for suspensions that are wealth-based. What we're arguing, and I think Mary said it best, is our case is about license suspensions simply due to nonpayment, which is a whole lot of license suspensions in Texas. We're not talking about when a judge says, hey, you're too dangerous to drive, you know, I'm ordering you suspended because of reckless driving or because of driving while intoxicated. We're not talking about that issue at all. Even with the repeal of DRP, there will still be suspensions out there solely due to nonpayment, and that's because the Omnibase program still exists. So until those laws are all repealed and suspensions are limited solely based to safety on the roads, which is really the only legitimate reason for a suspension, the issues we're raising are still live.
Okay. And you think that Texas will walk away from that $2.5 billion in justice debt? Is this going to let that be wiped off the books, or will that find its way in Omni? Phil, real quick.
I think they're at the end of the day, Texas is going to have to recognize a lot of this debt is uncollectible. And the reason is because too many people are living in poverty, on the brink of poverty, and paycheck to paycheck. It sounds like a lot of money, but in truth, a lot of that money is actually better spent with people providing for their families, providing for medical care.
And they're never going to get those. Never going to get those dollars out of those. You know, it's just
exactly
never going to happen. Just give it up.
They're never going to collect that money, right?
All right. So Phil Telfian is the director of Equal Justice Under Law. Mary Mergler is the attorney and director of the Criminal Justice Reform Project at Texas Appleseed. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for supporting us, and thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams. Direction provided by News Director Dan Katz. Technical assistance provided by Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.